Over to the book of Philippians in chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. This is another verse that we are, if we do not yet have it memorized, we are going to memorize it. And I suspect that probably most of you, maybe all of you already do have it memorized. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. Let's read this out loud together. Philippians 4:13. Those that are listening by way of the internet, we do want to welcome you as well. And so just wherever you're at, if you're at home by yourself, or maybe you have a group of people by yourself at wherever you're watching, just read this out loud along with us. So Philippians chapter 4 verse 13, and it says this: I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's read it out loud once more. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What did you say?
That's a song too.
Oh, what is the song? Come up and sing it for us. Come on. Who?
Denise Loyakis.
Oh, Denise is not here, so you're chosen. Come on. Come on, tell us how it goes. Come on. Hey, she volunteered. She brought it up, right? So
no.
Yeah. Well, tell us how it goes.
Your career starts today.
I'll give it a try.
You got to hold it close. Okay. So she said it's a song, too. So.
Well, it's a song that kids sing. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen. That's right, yes. So those are two songs we will sing for conference, yes? And we could probably have Brother Gene, maybe if he wants to put some, I'm sure there's some music to it, maybe Brother Gene could play it or something like that, right? But boy, that's a great verse, isn't it? What does Philippians 4:13 say?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Wait a minute, I couldn't hear that. What is it?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's wonderful. Anybody want to sing a song?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer as we get going this morning. Our gracious God and Father, we are thankful for singing songs of the faith. Songs that bring forth from a heart filled with joy and thanksgiving, a communication to one another and to you that redounds to your glory about the joy that we have in Christ, about these wonderful truths that your word discloses to us, especially now what we're going to look at this morning about Christ, who is our strength. He's our life. He's our all in all. And we ask, Father, that as we spend a few minutes this morning looking at this, that we would have a better, a deeper, a greater appreciation of what that actually means, what it looks like in time, and for the purpose of bringing you glory and honor. And it is in the name of Christ Jesus, who is our strength, that we ask this. Amen. Who knows what Philippians 4:13 says? Raise your hand. Okay, Sil, can you say it for us, please? Go ahead.
All things through Christ Jesus.
One, and say, you got to say it loud now, because the people on the internet want to hear. What's it say now?
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Excellent. Anybody else want to quote that? Karen, you did. You had your hand up. Yes?
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Wonderful. Excellent. Fantastic. And all the guys are looking down. They're not making that cat. Go ahead.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Wonderful. Amen. Wonderful. And by the way, isn't it? I mean, it's always good to learn that verse, but you know what? It's even especially better when you learn it as a young person, a young man, a young woman, rather than wait till you're, you know, 60s and 70s and 80s and that kind of a thing. But it is truly something that whatever age you are as a believer, that verse is something that will live with you, truly be a resource for you for the rest of your life. Now, I have another question for you. Who knows and can quote for us Galatians 2:20? It starts out. Go ahead, Raymond, go ahead.
I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Excellent, amen. Fantastic. Amen, brother. Yes, fantastic. Anyone else? Someone else, would you like to quote Galatians 2:20? And those listening on the internet, again, whether you're by yourself and you're at your kitchen table or your living room with some people, Quote it among yourself. Who else would like to quote Galatians 2:20? Anyone else? Galatians 2:20. Paul, go ahead, sir.
Christ crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
And the life?
The life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. And there are some phrases in that verse that are so critical. Yet not I, but Christ. And then the faith of Christ.
Amen.
Who loved me. The faith of the Son of God.
In the King James Bible.
In the King James Bible. Exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay. Now, think about it this way. I'm going to say it this way to try to emphasize it. The Galatians 2:20 in the book of Philippians is Philippians 4:13. Did you get that, what I just said? The Galatians 2:20 in the book of Philippians is Philippians 4:13. Those two verses absolutely explain each other and go together. They function together. And the one truly is built upon the reality of the other. Both are true. Galatians 2:20, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The emphasis in Galatians 2:20 is the living part, the life part. The emphasis in the Philippians 4:13 is the strengthening part. And that's especially what we want to focus on today. The strengthening part. The title to the message here is the strengthening power of the Word of God. What does that mean? What does it look like just in our lives day to day as we face the details of life? So point number one, not that I'm consistent with points at all, but I try, okay? But the first thing to begin with, therefore, is Christ is our life. Now and forever. He is our life. And have we talked about that fact and truth over the years many, many times?
Yes.
If there were some passages that you would turn to for you, for me, for each of us to, from Scripture, be brought to the awareness of the fact that Christ is really and truly our life. One of them we mentioned already is Galatians 2:20. There's another one, and it's in the book of Colossians. It's in the book of Colossians. What is it, Rich? There it is right there. It's the book of Colossians. And Rich, say it loud again. What was it?
For when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with me.
Everybody turn there, please. And then we're going to read this out loud together. You can tell Rich is ready to preach, isn't he? He was about to come out of that chair. I'm excited, man. You know. Well, look at this passage. Colossians chapter 3, and it's going to be verse 4. And I will ask Brother Rich, if he doesn't mind again, to read that out loud. Oh, you know, he just took a bite of something, I guess. Should I wait or what? Okay, look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. It says this, when Christ, who what?
Is.
Who is our life. He is our life. That verse says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. That's a wonderful verse, wouldn't you say? But the realization that right now, that from the moment you got saved, that split second that you believed in the privacy of your own heart, the Bible says, with the heart man believeth. Believing is something that happens in the non-material part of who you are. The heart being the emotion, the mentality of the soul, as it were. The place in the soul where the eternal decisions are made. So when the Bible says that with the heart man believeth, you heard the gospel that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day. You saw with the eyes of your understanding, the eye of faith as it were, Christ dying on the cross for your sins, and you saw and you made a choice to believe the claim that God absolutely would accept the blood of Jesus Christ as the total complete payment for all of your sins. The moment you believe that, the justice of God forgave you of all of your sins, past, present, and future, and at that same instant imputed righteousness to your account. He puts you into living union with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He declared you to be righteous. He gave you His life. And the life that you now have is Jesus Christ. Listen, this is not theoretical. This is not some magical fantasy land. This is what Scripture says. And the God of the Bible not only cannot lie, He doesn't lie, and He doesn't mislead. So, if this is not true, a statement like that, Christ who is our life, then you don't only throw one verse out. What do you do with the rest of the Bible? You throw it all out. All of it. And that verse says, Christ who is our life. The moment that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for your personal Savior, Jesus Christ, you were put into Him, and He was put into living union with you. Now He is our life. Galatians 2:20. What does it say again? It says, I am what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I what? Live. Yet not I, but Christ what? Liveth in me. And the life. You see the repeated live, live, life? The life which I now live. There it is again. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's His living.
His faith.
That's His faith. That's His fidelity. That's His life. I live by the faith of the Son of God. The life of a believer. When I say the Christian life, I'm talking about the life of a believer. The life of the believer is not the believer's life. The life of the believer is Christ's life in the person. In our flesh, we still have Adam's life. That's why sin and death can still get your physical body. But sin and death can never get your soul. You heard me say a couple of weeks ago that the death that matters, you already got it. Romans 6, the passage that the Brother Gene sang about. So as a believer now, we not only have Adam's life that is in our flesh, but in our soul, in that part of us that is eternal, we are no longer connected to Adam. We're dead to sin. We're dead to Adam, according to Scripture. We've been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. We are alive in Christ. Now, why do we claim these things? What's that? Because that's what Scripture says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is what Scripture declares. Listen, friends, this isn't religion. It's not theology. It's not man's viewpoint. That's what Scripture says. It's what it declares. Scripture is the Word of God. The very words of God that came out of the mouth of God that got written down on paper and preserved in time. And when we are trusting, believing that Christ is our life, we are believing that based upon the testimony of someone who cannot and does not lie, and that is God. God believes that Christ is our life. Now then, does anybody know what Philippians 4:13 says? Philippians 4:13. Who wants to quote it for us? Philippians 4:13. I can. Come on. Help out.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Okay. What does it say again? I can what?
I can do all things
through Christ which strengtheneth me. Okay. It is one thing to be alive. It is another thing to be empowered. It is one thing to be alive. It's another thing to be strengthened. It's one thing to be alive, and it's another thing to have mobility. When you think about the definition of the word strength, there are a whole bunch of them, by the way. Okay, a whole bunch of definitions. You can get your dictionary out and check it. A whole bunch of definitions of the word strength. But a common way that people use the word strength, and you'll see this especially recently because of a lot of the health issues that have gone around the last couple of years, they will say that someone didn't have the strength, that they have the flu or COVID or whatever, or they had heart surgery, and they'll say something like this: someone didn't have the strength to get out of bed just yet and to go into the kitchen to get something to eat. What do they mean by they didn't have the strength? What does that mean? What's that?
Like the intestinal fortitude.
Yeah, intestinal fortitude. What else?
Energy.
Energy. Good. What else?
Power.
What's that?
The power.
Literally the power. Okay? So that's why I say, you think of an illustration like that, that person's alive. They may not feel like it, right? Those of you that have had the flu and the COVID, and wow, they're alive. But they might be in a situation where they don't have the energy, the power, and therefore the lack of mobility. Therefore, you can't get anything done, as it were. Katie, go ahead.
Well, sometimes there's the mental and
yes,
physical.
That's exactly right. Katie said there are really a couple of kinds. There's the physical strength, you know, getting up out of bed, going to the kitchen, that kind of thing. But there's the mental. There's the will. And the will is always more important even than the physical. So understand this. Christ is our life. But you wonder how many believers go through this life with the resource of Christ at their ready and are trying to live the life of the believer in the energy of their own fortitude. Is that a problem?
Yeah.
Why is it a problem? Why, Rich? Say it loud, please. Say it loud.
It's trying to endure the end. Do it yourself. Come on, get on the horse and do it.
He says it's trying to endure the end. Come on, get on the horse. Do it yourself. Come on, endure, kind of a thing. How's that work?
Not good.
Not good, he says. You know, if you're reading through the zone right now, you're, of course, in the book of Leviticus, yes? Laurie commented this morning as we were in Leviticus and everything, and she said, man, it'd be hard to live under the law, yeah? You said something like that, right? Well, I'm glad we don't live under the law. Wow, it would be tough to live under the law. The law focuses on who? On you. On the flesh, your ability. Grace focuses on Christ not only as our life, but as our what? A strength. Isn't that amazing to think about that? So when it comes to the issue of strengthening, that is an awareness. It's a walk of faith beyond simply an understanding of Christ being our life. These two are completely related, but the one is built on the other. We might go around believing Galatians 2:20. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. And yet at the same time, still going through the daily life, the struggles of life, seeking to get through life in the energy of our own strength. That's futile. It's a waste of time. Let me say it this way. Turn with me to the book of Galatians here, if you would. Go to Galatians 4. Go to Galatians in chapter number 4. Galatians in chapter number 4. Let's see, Galatians chapter number 4. There's a couple of phrases. There's a phrase here I want you to notice in Galatians 4. The Apostle Paul says to and about the Galatians who were believers. They were justified people. Galatians 2:20 was certainly true of them. Christ was their life. He says, look at verse 7. Galatians 4:7, he says, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So, according to verse 7, what's their identity? Who are they as seen by God? Exactly. They're full-grown son and heirs. So now watch Paul seek to appeal to their thinking to bring them back to where they will function, where they will live out of the resource of their identity. He says this, "How be it then, when you knew not God," so that would be before they were saved, "you did service unto them which by nature are no God." See the word service. What does the word service mean?
Serve.
You're doing a bunch of stuff. You're serving your God. And you can see based upon what he says, "you did service unto them." They were very active, very busy in their service to that which was not the true and living God. Think what? Religion. Right? Human effort. But boy, were they busy. Man, they were breaking a sweat for God. Kind of a thing, you know? He says, "Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God," but look at the next phrase, "or rather are known of God." I want you to compare something with that. Okay, I'm going to get sidetracked a little bit and I'm going to come right back. Go to Matthew 7. What is this thing about that important qualification that he says, "or rather are known of God"? Why is that important? Here's an example of why it's important. This is an illustration of it, an example of it. Look at, did I say Matthew 7?
Yes.
And I want verse 21. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonders?" See how they were super busy. Many wonderful works. Look at verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity." Whoa. Let that sink in. When he says, "I never knew you," he's not denying the fact that he is God and knows all things. What does he mean when he says, "I never knew you"?
"You're not mine."
"You're not mine."
"They never trusted."
"You never trusted."
"They were not in him."
"They were not in him." When the Apostle Paul in Galatians, go back to Galatians and bring that principle with you. Bring that truth with you. When he says at verse 9, Galatians 4:9, "But now after that you have known God," and that's a wonderful thing, yes, but only if the next statement is also true. It says, "But now after you have known God," or rather are what? "Known of him." When you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you as a believer, are you ever going to have any fear, any doubt about the Lord saying, "I never knew you"?
Nope, no.
He will never say that to you that have trusted Him.
Ephesians 1:13.
You're sealed. But if you have never personally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, can I tell you your future? I'm going to. If you die in that condition. I'm going to become a prophet right now. Okay? I'm not a prophet. But this is what the Bible says. If you die in that condition where you have never personally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for your Savior, whatever your claim is when you stand before Him, whatever your reasoning for rejecting Him will be, He's going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And you're going to spend eternity in a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, eternal lake of fire forever. You're going to have a long time to think about the stupidity of your decision, the utter foolishness of your decision, your self-righteousness and pride that stands in your way, that thinks you know more than God, thinks you're smarter than God. And if you're comfortable with that, be comfortable with that now. Because when you leave this earth, you will never be comfortable again. Never. Never! This is pretty serious. When Paul says in that verse, "But now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God." God knows you. And that's a wonderful thing. But he says here in this verse, look at verse 9. He says, "But now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God." Look at what they're doing. How turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. If something is weak, it has no power. If it's beggarly, it has no wealth, no resources. And so they're turning from who they were in Christ under grace, where Christ is their life and their strength. They're turning back to a system that is powerless and beggarly, thinking that that's a resource from which and out of which they can live this new life in Christ. It doesn't work that way, friends. Jesus Christ, we were placed in Him and Him in us, not just to be our life, but to be our strength. Does anyone here need strength for living this life of the believer? Anyone? how many of us could use some strength maybe even just this past week, right? And so when we talk about strength, the idea is empowering, accomplishing something, ability to perform, capacity to do. Let's quickly look at some other passages. I'm going to look at some Old Testament passages where the word strength is used, so we can see some illustrations of how the Bible, the psalmist and Moses, for example, used this word. Look with me, go to Psalms 18. And we're going to look at these and then ask the question, okay, what is the sense of strength? Psalms 18. And we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Psalms 18, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 18, verse 1 and 2 says this. It says, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my what?" What does the psalmist mean? Did I give you the right reference?
Yeah.
Psalms 18, 1 and 2. It says, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." What is the use of the word strength by David, the psalmist here, in these verses? What does he mean by "the Lord is my strength"? What does he mean by that?
My resource.
What's that? Okay, excellent. My resource. What else? My what?
His foundation.
My very foundation. What else?
Say it loud.
Some kind of struggle, some kind of battle, some kind of conflict in which he's recognizing that in and of his own capacity, he is not his own resource. Because if he tried to be his own resource, he would be defeated. And when he says this here, he's recognizing... By the way, King David was one of... Remember, he was a general before he ever was a king. He was one of Israel's greatest generals ever. Incredible military strategist and so forth. And yet you read a passage like that, and he comes to the place in his life where he realizes that, wow, I might have the ability to strategize and the ability to understand tactics and the ability to take on the enemy, but in the end, it's not going to be my genius, my wisdom, my capacity that's going to win the battle. Especially in his own heart and his own mind. He says there, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength." He says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress." So you've got a place of stability and a fortress, a place of protection. "My deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will..." What? And there's the key right there. For the Lord to be our strength is to be the one in whom we trust. Not just to be our life, which He is our life, but to be the one who enables us, who empowers us, who strengthens us in the midst of the conflict, the affliction, whatever it might be. That's a pretty wonderful verse there. Look with me also to Psalms chapter 27 this time. You'll see, and there are a number of these in the Old Testament. They're really, really quite edifying and instructing. Look at 27 verse 1. 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So you see again, there's an internal battle dealing with fear. The fear tactics of the adversary. He says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the what?
Strength
of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So in this, yeah, no, say it loud. No one. You see, in this passage, the one that we just read in Psalms 18 is you link the word strength with the one you're trusting. Here you link the word strength with that ability of God's Word to cause fear to vanish. To not be dominated and controlled by fear. Listen, everybody has fear at times. Everyone does. The old saying, the good saying is, courage is not the absence of fear.
Courage is the response.
It's the response that realizes there's something more important than what the fear is presenting. And we recognize that Jesus Christ, He is our strength. He is the one in whom we trust. His Word is what we turn to enable us, to empower us, so that when the fear is pressing down on you, the Word can come along and stabilize the inner man. The very context of Philippians 4. By the way, what does Philippians 4:13 say? I can what? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, right? In that very context, that's where the Apostle Paul says, guess what? The Lord is at hand. He's right there. As close as your Bible. We've been talking on the studies on the Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights and now and Saturday afternoons. That you know what? Even if you don't have a physical Bible, you know what everybody has? A cell phone. And if you got a cell phone, you have a Bible. Because your cell phone you can get online, and you can get a King James Bible online on your cell phone. Right? So there it is. That's right. She got it right on her phone right there. Isn't that wonderful? So now that most churches, they don't even take a Bible, but they do all have their cell phones. Maybe they're all making the switch to the King James Bible on their cell phones. Yes, not so. It would be so. It would be wonderful if it was so. At any rate, look at this passage here. You can see Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You can see in that passage the capacity of Christ, of His Word, to dispel the fear, to bring about the courage, the strength, to not be controlled by the fear. Look at another passage, if you would. Go to 37, verse 39. Chapter 37 and verse 39. Chapter 37, verse 39. Look at this passage here. 37:39 says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Did they give you the right reference there?
Yeah.
Now, prophetically, remember, Israel lived through constant times of troubles. Prophetically, ultimately, it's going to be the tribulation period. And if God was their strength, that is, if His Word was their strength and will yet be their strength in the tribulation period, is the principle true for us today that His Word is our strength in whatever trouble we face?
Yeah.
It absolutely is. Turn with me to chapter 46 and verse 1. Chapter 46, verse 1. This is really amazing. And I am going to have get chapter 46, verse 1, and then go back to Philippians 4. Go back to Philippians 4. We're going to compare these two verses. I actually made reference to it a moment ago. But look at this passage. Psalms 46, verse 1. Psalms 46, verse 1, and it says this. Psalms 46, 1 says this. God is our refuge and what?
Strength.
a very distant help. And that doesn't say it. A very what?
Present
help in trouble. I probably could have used that verse in my high school days. Anyway, okay. Help, Lord, I'm in trouble again. My mom's going to really be upset with me. You know, kind of a thing. You know how I knew I was really in trouble? My mom didn't remember my name or my dad. They'd have to go down through. Remember, we had 8 kids, right? They'd have to go down the list and start calling names. Well, what's your name anyway? Get over here, kind of a thing. You know, that's the challenge of having more than one child, right? You know, you can't remember their names. Okay, it's the it looks like someone remembers that illustration. The family. What's your name? Well, listen. Look at that verse. I get so distracted, don't I? I apologize for that. 46 verse 1. God is our what?
Refuge.
Listen, religion is not your refuge.
That's right.
Man's wisdom is not your refuge. It is no refuge. The Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, they're not your refuge. Human viewpoint, wealth, power, fame, influence, the internet, Facebook. No. God, if it's a true refuge you're looking for, God's the only answer. That verse says, God is our refuge and strength. A very, what? Present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. By the way, in the tribulation period, that's actually going to happen. That's not metaphorical there. The Scripture talks about the earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunken man. Jesus Christ, when He returns, He's going to shake heaven and earth. There are going to be all kinds of physical, topographical changes on this planet. Going to terrify people to no end, as it were. And yet most still won't repent. You'll read the book of Revelation and find out. But it's a passage like that right there that the believing remnant, because they trust what God said in His Word, when they see those things actually happening on the earth and experiencing them on the earth, they're going to find their refuge, their safety, their strength in God's Word. And if that's true of them, and it will be, it's true of us as well. It's all about trusting God's Word. When that verse says, a very present help in time of trouble, go back to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. We memorize these two verses. Look at Philippians 4:4. Say it with me. Rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
And again I say what? And then verse 5. Let your moderation be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. He's right there. He is our strength. He is our resource. He is our power. And the way that He is that power and our strength is through His written Word. Look at quickly, if you would. I'm out of time, which is always the case. But look. By the way, I realize that there's finally one time when I'll be able to look back and say I'm out of time, and I'll just be praising the Lord.
Rapture.
What's that?
Rapture.
The rapture. When the rapture happens, we'll look back and say, "Wow, we're out of time." Well, look at this passage of, what did I say, Ephesians 3. What's that?
We won't have time to say that.
We won't even have time to say that. It'll be after it happens, right? Amen. Look at Ephesians 3. Look at Ephesians 3:16. It says this. Ephesians 3:16 says this, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened. There's our word. Wait. What does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. So here this verse says, it says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Where?
Amen.
What is God's might? What is His power? It is His Word. It's Scripture. That is the mighty, strengthening power of God to work in the believer. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it works in you that what? Believe. Now let me just wrap this up by saying this. And I mean, this is Philippians 4:13. What does it say?
I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me.
What about the rest of y'all? Come on, what does it say? Philippians 4:13, what does it say?
I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me.
Amen. Remember this. It's like Galatians 2:20 shouts out what? Say it with me. I am what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So it's like that shouts out across the mountains. And the response back is, say it with me, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You see how the one is the response to the other. They work together to remind us that God strengthens us in the inner man through His Word. This is the mighty strengthening power of God. It's His Word working in us as we believe it. Let me ask this and we'll wrap it up here.
Oh, shoot.
Amen. It really did echo. That was pretty cool, man.
There's another guy in the preaching the same thing.
There you go. Someone else is preaching the same message. Let me ask this question and we'll wrap it up here. Let me just read through these.
John, 2 Corinthians 12:10.
Okay, we're going over there right now. Tell you what, yeah, we can't finish without that, okay? But watch this. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. And I have this question. I'm going to start at verse 24. He says, just think about this. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. It had to have been terrifying to be out there in the deep, dark night. You know, think about what your mind would be thinking about, what's lurking below you that you can't see, just playing with your toes. It's just wiggling your toes, as it were. But it's really big. Got big teeth. You know, your mind that. You're in the deep. It's night. It's dark. No one's coming to the rescue. There's no helicopters with searchlights. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils of the in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, in cold and nakedness. How did a human being endure such? What does it say?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
If you want to do an in-depth study about this, go to all the different times, like passages like this. Philippians, Acts 16. The Philippians, remember, they beat him up, threw him in jail, him and Silas. And at midnight, what did they do? They didn't say, oh, woe is me. God, why did you let this happen to us? At midnight, they sang praises. Where did the strength come from to even possibly get a hold of your mind and tell your mind that, no, I am not going to let my fear and my flesh tell me that God is punishing me, that God planned failure. You've got to take control of your mind and your heart. Where did that power come from that enabled Paul and Silas there to take control of their thinking and their emotions right then and right there to bring forth songs of praise in the midst of a dungeon at night in the darkness?
Sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine. It was Christ, His Word. You think of passages like this, and how did a human being Where does strength come from? This is supernatural, friends. This is supernatural divine intervention. But not in your refrigerator, not in your car, not in your gas tank or your computer. This was supernatural divine intervention of the power of the written Word of God to work in the inner man when you believe it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's not hear some more prayer. Let's Brother Gene, if he'll come forward. And Dan's going to lead us in closing song here. Oh, gracious God and Father, we just ask that as we've taken a little bit of time this morning to look into Your Word, that we would appreciate to a greater degree each day and each moment. Each moment it is the opportunity to really appreciate the fact that not only Christ is our life, but through Your Word, that is how He strengthens us. And that power, that strength really is available. So just to go through life and just to acknowledge it and just to say, oh Lord, I just need You to be my strength right now and always. We thank You for this in Christ's name. Amen.